in L.A.
President Trump weighed in on social media, and I'm quoting here, "I can't believe ABC Fake News gave Jimmy Kimmel his show back. The White House was told by ABC that the show was canceled."
Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky appeared grateful after President Trump changed his longstanding position. The nation should give up some of its land to Russia to end the war.
"We expect America's actions to push Russia toward peace. Moscow fears America and always pays attention to it."
A hurricane warning as a Category 3 Gabrielle races east across the Atlantic. CBS meteorologist Tony Sidiku.
It's got a rip current threat for some of the East Coast beaches today. It's on a weakening trend, but how about hurricane watches as it has its eyes set on the Azores?
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Sholly Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. Republican lawmakers are introducing bills they say would increase the housing supply in Wisconsin. Savannah Tome Olson has the details.
In polling, people often rank affordable housing as one of their top concerns. Tom Larson, president and CEO of the Wisconsin Realtors Association.
"The average age of the first-time homebuyer is now 38 years old. And this is due to the fact that housing prices continue to rise faster than wages. The average price of a home now in Wisconsin is approximately $340,000. That far exceeds a price that most working families can afford. Wisconsin's affordability crisis is worse than most other states. Over the last 15 years, Wisconsin has built fewer housing units per capita than the national average. And if you take a look at our affordability, Wisconsin's affordability is worse than any of our surrounding neighbors."
One of the bills would create a program Republican lawmakers say would make it easier for people to buy their first home. Representative Dan Knodel of Germantown.
"The 0% interest second mortgage loans, up to $60,000 or 25% of a home's purchase price, to help first-time buyers can use these for down payments and closing costs."
These bills would also include creating statewide guidance for accessory dwelling units. That's where people add homes, sometimes tiny homes, in their backyards. Some municipalities allow this already, but this bill would codify some rules statewide. Republicans say many of these measures were included in Governor Tony Evers' original budget, so they expect bipartisan support. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And for WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Sholly Pittman. More news anytime at WFHR.com and WIRI.FM.
It's the Brewers and the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers and Padres wrapping up their series in San Diego. Last night, the crew shut out 7-0. Today, Chad Patrick gets the start. Quinn Priester's start moves to this weekend before their bye the first week of the playoffs. NFL. At age 27, Mecole Hardman was the oldest receiver in the Packers locker room.
I mean, it's a great room, man. Great competitive room. But yeah, like you said, you know, all of us trying to make plays, all of us trying to, you know, put our name out there. It's a young room as well.
Last night, Hardman got cut from the practice squad, replaced by a rookie out of UMass, Jacoby Keeney-James. The Packers getting ready to play the Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday Night Football after losing to the 0-2 Browns in Cleveland.
"We're just trying to win one game at a time. If you're thinking or have your sights set on anything outside of that, I think you're focused on the wrong things. Like, we got to be focused in what the tape says and then moving on."
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Patchy fog this morning, otherwise mostly sunny today. A high in the low 70s. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 40s. Sunshine tomorrow, a high in the mid 70s. Dry 70s and sunshine Friday and the weekend. It's 55 right now.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is a huge export in Wisconsin you might not even be aware of. We are talking to the Cranberry Growers Association as we go beyond the cheese.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
8:06 now on this Wednesday morning, September 24th. Nice to have you back here up north. On this Wednesday morning, Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot coming up in just a sec. We're going to be talking to Earl Ingram to find out who he's been talking to on the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast that you can get through Civic Media. Check out the website for more. We'll have Melissa Baldoff in just after 8:20 with our climate check. And then at 8:35, we will be talking about health insurance, especially the Affordable Care Act, which is made affordable. Those health insurance premiums are made more affordable by premium tax credits. They are tax credits that President Trump and congressional Republicans are in the process of killing, and Democrats are trying to restore, and that could lead to a government shutdown as early as the middle of next week. So we'll talk to Kathy Hempstead, a national health policy expert with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, about the impact of those tax credits on regular Americans just looking for some affordable health insurance. Again, that's coming up less than 30 minutes from now. But right now, let's bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot to talk about the weather and how yesterday, Brittany, when the sun finally came out, it was getting close to sunset, it was so tranquil on the water. Okay, ooh, looking out. And in fact, I'm gonna bring up the slide here for you to see. That's the view out in my backyard there for folks watching on social media. See that little point of trees out there in the center, out in the distance? Well, out there yesterday, the sun was hitting it just right, and the water was so still. And you could see a perfect a mirrored reflection of the trees on the water. It was gorgeous. I get my phone up. I zoom in a lot. I've got this beautiful picture that I'm going to be taking. Like, here comes a jet ski right across.
Darn it.
Just like somebody took your Etch-a-Sketch and just decided to shake it up and go, you didn't need that mirrored water there anyway, did you? No, I guess I didn't. Thanks. Thanks anyway. So, But the weather was gorgeous for it. Apparently gorgeous enough for one jet skier to be out there on the water. And how are we looking for today in terms of, you know, gorgeousness?
Gorgeousness will be on the way, promise you. A little icky out there in spots, especially northwest this morning. A dense fog advisory in effect until 11 o'clock. But those winds are starting to pick up a little bit, so it's lifting ever so slowly, and it will reveal sunnier skies behind it, especially north. Down south, I think you're going to hang on to more cloud cover this afternoon, clearing later on in the day, but we're all going to get to abundant sunshine by tomorrow, and we're going to hold on to nothing but sunshine for the rest of the week and into the weekend as well. So some gorgeous weather with a high pressure system taking over, giving us, again, no rain in the forecast. So it will become a little bit breezy later today. We do have a beach hazard statement on Lake Michigan for Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha County. Waves are climbing up to 3 to 6 feet or so, and that lasts until tomorrow. So a little rough waters, few spotty sprinkles are possible by Lake Michigan later this afternoon and evening, and then high temperatures today hitting mid-60s to about 70 degrees. So slightly cooler before we get our warmer weather moving in tomorrow. So low to mid 70s by tomorrow afternoon. Sunny skies. We're going to hit the upper 70s for Friday and then tapping 80 degrees for a lot of us for the weekend and even into next week. So summery weather right here.
Or one could say gorgeousness is gorgeousness. On the way.
Yay.
That'll work. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Remember, you can sign up for our daily newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. And I'm reminded by Ellie, our new newsletter editor, that she has a special edition of the newsletter coming out this Friday. Very fall festival focused. Oktoberfests and getting ready for Halloween and all kinds of sights. So you're looking for things to do on the weekends for a fall weekend in Wisconsin. Well, get signed up for this newsletter in time for the special edition on Friday. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. Earl Ingram's with us now from Civic Media. He's got the What's Going On podcast. I mean, such a range of topics that he covers in each installment. So head over to civicmedia.us, click on shows to learn more, and we're going to see what he's got in some of his latest editions here. Earl Ingram, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Pat. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Good to chat with you. And I'm very interested in the topic that I think you're going to be bringing up here with one of your guests. Dr. Robert Craig was a guest, and it's a point that I think a lot of people miss when we're talking about the economy in this nation, jobs and manufacturing and everything else. And I mean, we are in an arc of history that I think too many people take for granted when it comes to where this country was at the end of the Second World War to, you know, where we went in terms of peaking and where we are right now. Tell us more about that conversation.
Well, you know, at 71 years old, I lived during those 60s, early 50s. I was born in 1954. And so the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, basically the sweet spot in my life, and I think in this nation, as the middle class, strong middle class that built suburbs and all sorts of other things and gave everybody, regardless of whether they had a college degree or not, an opportunity to live the American dream, really was kind of an illusion. And so we keep hearing people talk about getting back to a time that was a very short period of time in the history of this nation. That was during the late 1950s, 60s, and 70s, where industry was king and America was able to build everything that she needed. We didn't need any other nation. We only make up 4% of the global population, yet we produce everything that we needed inside of our borders. And so when you look at it from that perspective, great jobs and opportunities were available to people who couldn't read and write. It was the lifeblood of Black people who came here from the South seeking opportunities. They could come here, and many people couldn't read or write, but they were given opportunities to live middle-class lifestyles predicated on all of the industry that was going on in this country. And so the conversation I had with my good friend Dr. Craig centered around the fact that, you know, to hear people say that we're going to get back to that, I don't think they understand the history, the historical facts, and how we were able to do those things at that period of time.
Yeah. Now, look, this is not taking away from all the things that America and Americans could do during that period. But again, you got to keep in mind, much of the rest of the world was in ruins from a global war. And we were it for the economic, for the industrial engine for the longest time. And that's fine. We not only built everything, we built a middle class, the likes of which did not exist previously in human history. But far too many people took that for granted and forgot that, you know, the rest of the world was going to build up its infrastructure again, its manufacturing, and that, you know, U.S. companies would you know, outsource their jobs and things like that. And that, again, this is kind of a natural arc. And so when people say, oh, yeah, we're going to get back to those glory days. Well, no, not unless you're going to create all the rubble of a world war. So now, Earl, less people think it's just a couple of old men rocking on the porch here grousing that the good old days ain't coming back. We're just setting the perspective for people so that when you look forward, you know, you're not essentially blowing smoke about and romanticizing what it is we're going to get back to. We can make things better, but let's put our expectations in the here and now and not some era in the 50s and 60s that ain't coming back.
Well, so what predicated, and you're absolutely correct, what predicated the conversation that I had with Dr. Craig was in Milwaukee last week. A family of six, children ages 9 to 2 months, were found living in a storage facility. 1:30 in the morning, they heard whimpers coming from this storage facility. The police came, were able to somehow get into the storage facility and notice six children living in a facility with no lights, you know, no bathroom, no heat. And so the family, mother and father, were just outside in a car. They couldn't afford to find any place to live. And if you look at the realities of what people are faced with in this nation, for every 100 people looking for a place to rent, there's only 35 available. So the impacts of what has happened in this nation and what continues to happen are monumental. And I think that so many people aren't aware of the statistics that go along with what is taking place in this nation. If they did, if they really knew, they'd realize we're in a crisis that warrants political leaders from both sides of the spectrum to put aside certain things and not give major tax breaks to people who are always as wealthy as they are, while a large segment of this population is struggling.
And that is so on point, because people are going to want to right away just point fingers at that at those parents. And I'm not taking anything away from that, but the conditions that led people to that point. Why do we have conditions like this in the wealthiest nation ever, with wealth that is so concentrated in people who could not care less about those who are struggling to the point where they feel the need to live in cars and in storage sheds? And this is a time right now in this history of our country to figure out how do we fix that? How do we fix that inequality and still, well, I won't say still keep America strong. It'll frankly make America stronger if we address that wealth gap that we have in this country. And I'm sure Dr. Craig agrees with that.
Well, you know, Pat, I would say this. The real inherent danger in where we are is that since 2023, the number of homeless people rose 18% since 2023 in 2 years. And so from 670,000 to 780, those are the numbers that they can count, not counting the ones that we know aren't being counted. And so at that rate and where our economy is headed, those numbers are going to get even worse. And I maintain that family was not alone in living in those kinds of conditions. They are everywhere. And we've got to make an effort. We've got to make an effort to count them. They're American citizens, and they deserve a better opportunity in life.
Well, especially, yeah, if we're going to live any kind of a creed of a Judeo-Christian nation, for some folks, maybe live up to more of those parts of Scripture as well. It's the kind of thing that Robert Kennedy saw and tried to call attention to and tried to address. And instead, we're watching Robert Kennedy Jr. do things that are just not going to help any of these folks at all. Learn more about this by catching Earl Ingram on the What's Going On podcast. Head over to civicmedia.us. Click on shows and look at all the episodes that Earl has been pushing out for us. A great public service for us all. Earl, thanks so much. Always appreciate the visit. Hope you have a great day.
You as well.
All right. Still ahead, we're going to have our climate check, and we're going to be talking about healthcare, the health insurance premium assistance that's provided to make healthcare more affordable, and why politicians are trying to kill it and potentially lead to a government shutdown next week. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul. All in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.
Hi friends, it's Steven.
And Katrina from Family Natural Foods. We'll be having our 79th Customer Appreciation Day sale going on Friday, October 3rd, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, October 4th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., 910 West Grand Ave in Wisconsin Rapids.
We'll have samples and product experts answering your questions. Don't forget to sign up for some awesome door prizes and receive a free gift with purchase. Join us Friday, October 3rd and Saturday, October 4th for our 79th Customer Appreciation Day sale.
Working with nature since 1946.
Transform your bathroom with the beautiful quality of Bath Planet. Bath Planet has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, a symbol of quality and consumer confidence for over 100 years. And right now, for a limited time, you can upgrade your bathroom for 50% off installation or choose 18 months with no interest and no payments. But you need to call now. This special offer is only available by calling 800-329-4115. That's 800-329-4115. Call 800-329-4115 right now before the offer ends.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open, brought to you by the Hotel Mead. We'll tell you something good.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
We're kicking off some new friends of ours. We have Jesse Johnson with us, Membership Engagement Coordinator with the Girl Scouts of Northwestern Great Lakes. And Jesse, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself so the audience can put a name to the voice.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jesse. I am the Membership Engagement Coordinator with Girl Scouts of the Northwestern Great Lakes. I help all girls and volunteers have an amazing Girl Scout experience here in Central Wisconsin.
Thank you for being here, Jesse. Appreciate the time. And we have Amy Schultz with us, Chief Operating Officer with our Girl Scouts of Northwestern Great Lakes. And Amy, it is good to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Appreciate you both being here. If you don't mind, and I feel like when we talk about organizations, Girl Scouts pretty well known. Most people understand and have seen Girl Scouts for many different reasons. If you're like me and your sister was a part of it, or of course the cookies and so many other things. But we don't get a chance very often to talk about the mission of Girl Scouts. Can we start there? Just touching on that real quick, Amy.
Absolutely. Our mission is to build Girl Scouts of courage, confidence, and character. So everything we do, and our ultimate goal for all of our Girl Scouts who go through the program, is that we have girls that have courage, confidence, and character. And you know what else? They make the world a better place.
And we've seen this for decades through the Girl Scouts and the work that it does with these kids and the confidence they're able to build from so many of the different programs and different things that Girl Scouts do. In this day and age especially, it's wonderful to have an organization like this. You can't have enough things like this for kids, and one in particular like this. Now, with that said, we are also, you know, always looking for people to be a part of this. And certainly kids, you know, if you've got kids out there, then you've been on the fence about being a part of Girl Scouts. We've got a couple of events that you might want to check out. But we're also looking for leaders, Jesse, and I kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit.
We are definitely. The Girl Scout experience really starts with our amazing volunteers that we have. They help provide that mission and kind of direct those activities. So we actually have an amazing event coming up next week on October 2nd from 4:30 to 5:30 at Grove Elementary school here in Wisconsin Rapids, and it's really for all girls and their moms, parents, grandmas, caregivers, anybody who might be interested in helping provide that amazing Girl Scout experience. So we definitely invite you to stop by. We're going to have some fun activities, provide some additional information, and hopefully get some new troops set up for additional experiences for girls.
And when it comes to people that are thinking about doing this and everything, this is, I don't want to say that it make light of it or anything, but it's not a huge time commitment. It's not something that's going to take away huge chunks of your day or weeks or anything like that. So that part, I think, helps people a little bit with as far as being able to, you know, oh, can I see myself doing this?
It's actually really, really simple. The time commitment that you put in is really the time that you get to spend with your girl or your Girl Scout. So even though it might take you a little time to plan a meeting, you're getting to spend that time with your girl. And that, I mean, today, that's so important to be able to spend that time. And Girl Scouts has made it so easy for volunteers to get involved. We have meetings pre-planned. We have experience boxes that are mailed out to new leaders. We have older girls that love to come in and help run meetings for our younger troops as well. So really, we have an amazing support system behind the scenes to make sure that every troop leader or volunteer has an amazing experience.
My sister was in Girl Scouts and was a Brownie and in Girl Scouts and everything. And she was so excited that when she became a mom, she was going to be able to put her kids in Girl Scouts. And she had two boys. So she is, I think, a good example of somebody that maybe you were in Scouts and you like to go back. I know a lot of former Scouts like to come back and be a mentor or be a leader in some regard. But it also reminds me of people who maybe this was something you wanted to do as a kid and you maybe weren't able to or something. We weren't able to do this only being out here and living in Rapids and stuff is the reason my sister was able to. When it comes to that, this is a great opportunity for you as an adult. You get a chance to kind of be, you know, experience being a Girl Scout a little bit and certainly getting to know that world a little. So there's so many reasons to be a part of this. And to also, and I'm thinking of this talking to some of our other friends out there and a lot of the seniors out there, a lot of people out there maybe looking for volunteer hours or things to add to your college resume or something like that. Girl Scouts is one of those great organizations that looks darn good on a resume, everybody. It's a great opportunity there. And all of this said, I haven't even told you the best part. And it's investing in our kids. It's investing in our future. It's putting the time into that. There are a lot of great people out there, and we have a wonderful community. It puts a lot of time and money into nonprofits and into organizations like this. We greatly appreciate that. But when you have an opportunity to actually put your time into this, your physical self into these things, there are a few things that are more rewarding. There are a few things that you're going to enjoy more. And when you look back on them and everything, there are great opportunities here to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the events themselves, we wanted to touch on those and some of the fun there. And you got a big one right around the corner.
We absolutely do, and it's actually tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. So the 24th, Wednesday night from 5 to 7, we are having a Come Join Girl Scouts, Come Check Out All the Fun event. It's going to be at Camp Sacagawea right here in Wisconsin Rapids. And it's for all ages, K through 12th grade, and potential volunteers, parents, caregivers, grandparents, the neighbor that wants to help out. Just come and check. We have fun activities for the girls to do and then information also for the adults. We're going to make sign up super easy, super simple. You can do it right on the spot. We do have a number of troops here in Wisconsin Rapids that are accepting new girls and looking to grow, which is ready to go for all the girls. And we also do want to set up a couple new troops here in the area as well. So definitely come check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Is there an age range we're looking at for this?
Anywhere from kindergarten all the way up through 12th grade.
Okay, very cool. Very cool. And is there anything that people should, like information people should have on them or should know before coming to camp and checking this out or being involved in it?
It's pretty easy to sign up. So we really make it very easy to enter a couple bits of information that everybody would have at their mind fingertips.
Right, sure.
So no, you don't need to bring anything. We'll help you sign up if you want to join, or if you just want to figure out what Girl Scouts do and see an example of it. It's open house style. Anybody can drop in and and check it out.
You know, and the time frame, 5 to 7, perfect time frame as well. People, you know, especially that time of day, being able to stop in and out and check things out, find out more. This is a great opportunity to be able to.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
For WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Shally Pittman, filling in for Melissa Kay. Some Wisconsin residents receiving health care through the marketplace could see their premiums increase. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin visited Weston earlier this week and says she has a plan. Civic Media's Isabella Nieto reports.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin met with Marathon County residents earlier this week, leading a roundtable on the potential loss of health insurance tax credits.
Recently, we have seen legislation pass in Congress that has made our health care more expensive in this country and certainly in the state of Wisconsin. But one of the things we could prevent or fend off is the expiration of these tax credits.
Premium tax credits help low and middle income families pay for their health insurance. In 2021, those tax credits went to residents purchasing insurance through healthcare.gov. The tax credit program is now closing in on its expiration date at the end of this year. Baldwin met with constituents who could see changes in their coverage prices if premium tax credits expire.
I am leading the fight in Congress to extend these tax credits, make them permanent so that people will be able to afford their insurance through this program.
Baldwin is co-sponsoring the Healthcare Affordability Act, which would extend the premium tax credit program.
You know, we have a precious little time to act, but I'm hopeful because I do have some colleagues on the Republican side of the aisle who are taking a strong look at this, and we have just weeks to go before this will come to a head.
Baldwin says the hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites receiving health insurance through the Affordable Care Act could see their premiums increase as much as 34.5%. For Civic Media News, I'm Isabella Nieto.
And for WIRI and WFHR News, I'm Shally Pittman.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, that was fast. Jimmy Kimmel is back. ABC announced Monday that Jimmy Kimmel Live will return, with his first day back on the air being Tuesday, September 23rd. Turns out being suspended for an indefinite amount of time meant about a week. Disney faced protests from viewers and fans of the company, which included celebrities Martin Short and Tom Hanks, who have created very successful characters for the Mouse House. They teamed with the American Civil Liberties Union, according to Variety. The ACLU called the move to suspend Jimmy a blow to free speech. Disney CEO Bob Iger said bringing back Jimmy Kimmel Live was in the best interest of Disney and ABC. As of this writing, drama manufacturers Nexstar and Sinclair Broadcasting, owners of many of the ABC affiliates, say they won't air Kimmel's return, so the struggle continues. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
...97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Patchy fog this morning, otherwise mostly sunny today. A high in the low 70s. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 40s. Sunshine tomorrow, a high in the mid 70s. Dry, 70s, and sunshine Friday and the weekend. It's 55 right now.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over 3 decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk.
Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Angels of Dirt director and record producer Wendy Schneider. Civic Media's David Grant tells us how you can take over a radio station for a day, and wrestling announcer Rich LoCascio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hey, just a reminder, I sit here from 6 until 9 a.m. weekday mornings. You don't have to. We'd love to have you along for the full 3 hours, 5 days a week. If you can't, well, all the more reason to pod this little program. Head over to Spotify and follow our show, or do so at Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And that way you never miss a guest. You never miss an update. You never miss a quip. And that includes topics like healthcare. And we're going to discuss that right now with our guest, Catherine Hempstead from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. We're going to talk about, you always hear us talking about, you know, the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare, kind of at this very overarching umbrella of healthcare, et cetera. We're going to get into kind of the nitty gritty of it. What is it that makes it more affordable? And why is that a bit of a political football lately as we talk about, you know, the federal budget and things like that? Catherine Hempstead, good morning. Nice to have you here again.
Hi, Pat. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to see you. And for telling us more, we're going to get into specifically these healthcare tax credits. It's tax credits that really kind of put the affordable in the Affordable Care Act. So why don't we kind of go back to when the earth cooled here and explain how these tax credits, how these subsidies, how they are essentially are the foundation of the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. That's a great question. The Affordable Care Act was designed to help fill a really important gap in our healthcare system, which was to provide affordable coverage to people who didn't get an offer from their employer, weren't old enough for Medicare, didn't have low enough income for Medicaid. So they sort of updated, improved, re-regulated the individual market and required insurers to accept everyone, no underwriting for medical conditions, rating only for age. And to make that actually work for people, to make the coverage be affordable, they also included this set of tax credits that were based on income. And it was an amazing accomplishment and filled a really important gap, but there was definitely the perception that the tax credits were not sufficient to make coverage as affordable as people wanted. So for example, when you reached 400% of the poverty level, which is only about $62,000 annual income for a person, so it's not a very high income, you actually would hit what people call the subsidy cliff. You wouldn't get any tax credit at all. So coverage was really unaffordable for people at that income level and over. And for people with really low income, there was also the perception that the tax credits were not really sufficient and a lot of people were not taking the offer of coverage. So in 2021, they enhanced the tax credits. They made them more generous and they also eliminated that subsidy cliff and just had a cap of a percent of income that you would be required to spend on premiums, so that that kind of smoothed that top part of the income distribution and made the coverage a lot more affordable for people at the lower end of the income distribution. And as a result, in every state in the country, enrollment really soared. Like, for example, in Wisconsin, you went from close to 200,000 people in 2020 to about 313,000 in 2025. So that's like a 50% bump up in your enrollment in the Affordable Care Act marketplace. And those kinds of results were seen all over the country, and enrollment in the marketplace soared to like 24 million. But the reason I'm on the show today and the reason we're talking about it is that those enhanced credits are set to expire at the end of this year, unless Congress takes action. And, as you probably know, open enrollment is going to start soon for the 2026 plan year. And that plan year is going to reflect the end of those tax credits unless something happens.
So you had those expiring, and then to add insult to injury, you had the massive cuts to Medicaid and other things that made life more affordable for Americans in the so-called Big Beautiful Bill. And now it comes time to pass a new federal budget for the new fiscal year. Republicans most likely need Democratic votes in order to pass that. And Democrats are saying, well, in return for our vote, here are some things that we would like to see restored or extended. And so when you look at what they're talking about, I don't know if I should ask best case scenario or the most realistic good scenario that could happen between now and next week that would be beneficial to most Americans in keeping their health care affordable. Is it just focusing on those enhanced tax credits and restoring those?
I think that's the most feasible thing that's on the table right now. You did mention some other like looming threats to coverage that are going to impact people in the Medicaid program, you know, work requirements and some really important changes that affect how states are able to finance the program and pay providers. And there are, you know, lots and lots of concerns about what those things are going to do to coverage. And in fact, you know, CBO has estimated kind of all in maybe 15 million Americans are going to become uninsured over the next 10 years, which is something like a 50% increase in the size of the uninsured population. So it's a massive assault on health insurance coverage, you know, when you look at all the pieces. But I think the thing that is, you know, closest to really, you know, hitting the road and being enacted is this situation with the enhanced premium tax credits. And that's what people are trying to incorporate into, you know, budget discussions in Congress. And certainly there have been talks about a permanent extension. There have been talks about a 1-year extension. There have been talks about a 2-year extension. I mean, right now, unfortunately, the parties are not talking to each other at all, it seems. At least that's what the public face of it is. So it's very, very difficult to you know, suss out what might be happening.
Our guest is Catherine Hempstead from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and we're talking about the enhanced tax credits that helped folks afford health insurance through the Affordable Care Act and them expiring or potentially being extended. And I like the point that you made that there's talk about making them permanent or maybe for another year or two. Obviously, what was approved in 2021 is expiring now. Why was it set up that way? Because like in all things, politics is the art of the possible. And there were plenty of people in 2021 who figured that by 2025, they would see how many more people are being helped by those enhanced tax credits, how much more affordable health insurance has become for more Americans, and that they would then see that and want to make it permanent. Obviously, that's not what we're seeing proposed by the Trump administration or by congressional Republicans. But Catherine, there's no shortage of either anecdotes or mentions in news stories that there are individual Republican members of Congress who have indicated they would be open to extending or maybe even making permanent the enhanced tax credits because they understand the help. They also understand the harm going into an election year of saying that these credits were allowed to expire. But I'm wondering if you get the same sense that there are more than zero, you know, individual Republicans in Congress who might be amenable to extending these healthcare tax credits and avoiding a shutdown next year.
I think that's definitely right. And there have been a number of individual members who have said they're open to talking about it. There's been some proposals from Republicans, you know, of maybe a 1 or a 2-year extension. So I think you're right. And the truth is that states that voted Republican are really, in general, as a rule, have disproportionately higher use of the ACA marketplace, especially some of the states that haven't expanded Medicaid, which I know is partially true in Wisconsin, but states like Texas and Florida are really dependent on the marketplace, and they're going to see massive disruptions and coverage loss if these tax credits go away. So I think there's a lot of concern in you know, all members of Congress, but I think especially a lot of Republican members, that their constituents are going to experience really massive sticker shock when they start to see what they're going to be asked to pay for coverage. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people are going to drop coverage, and that's going to create a spiral of bad consequences for individuals, for hospitals, healthcare providers, you know, everybody. So I do agree with you that there is a lot of interest from some individual members, Republicans and certainly Democrats, in trying to come to an agreement.
We were talking in the last hour about a New York Times article that cited Republicans who were pointing to the cost of all of these enhanced tax credits and citing that big price tag as a reason to oppose their renewal. But what was missing from there was the comparison, the contrast with what's the cost if suddenly all of those people can't afford their health insurance anymore, either have to pay a lot more and decide to drop it, or just are no longer eligible. And I don't know that's a number you have at your fingertips. But again, I would imagine the cost of extending these tax credits probably pales in comparison to the long range cost of having that many more million Americans go back to being uninsured.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It's also worth noting that, you know, this is the only tax credit that didn't get extended, you know. So when you think about what was in the reconciliation bill, which included a lot of extensions of tax credits and then some really drastic cuts, historic cuts to the Medicaid program, and then you see this, it seems like there's a real concerted effort to undermine health insurance coverage in recent policy. And to your point, yes, it costs money to cover people, but it's also very costly when people aren't covered, because you see people neglect symptoms because they are terrified of having medical debt or not knowing what they might be asked to pay if they go into the hospital or clinic and they don't have coverage. So people neglect symptoms until they're much more serious. Then they show up in more expensive settings like emergency rooms. And unfortunately, sometimes it's too late for things to be treated. And there have been a lot of great studies of the health benefits of expanding coverage. And unfortunately, we kind of know what's going to happen when you throw that process into reverse, which is something that I think we're really looking at in this country from a multiple set of sources. And then you also see, you know, the consequence on the healthcare system when people lose customers that can come in and pay for preventive care or for elective surgery or for things that improve the quality of their life, but they won't do if they don't have coverage. Then you see some hospitals, especially in rural areas, becoming very financially stressed, maybe having to lay people off, maybe having to eliminate certain specialties. And then that has a spillover effect on the health and access to healthcare for the entire community, especially in rural areas when there may not be a lot of healthcare systems. So you're right, there is a real negative ripple effect when people lose coverage. And it's also not just people's health and not just the healthcare system, but health insurance coverage is a really important form of financial protection. So when people go into debt or people have big medical bills to pay, they stop paying other bills. They may not pay their rent. They may not pay their credit card bills. And so you see a sort of a downward spiral in people's financial well-being too. So it's extremely costly to not cover people.
Catherine Hempstead is with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, helping explain this very important part of keeping affordable in the Affordable Care Act and some of the background on what may lead to a government shutdown fight next year, or next week rather, when Congress is back in session. Catherine, thank you again. It's always great to get background from you. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Pleasure.
All right. Yep. Take care now. All right. Some final news and notes from Lake Wissota coming up here. And again, a reminder, tomorrow, we'll have some of our regular Thursday guests here. That'll include Joe Zepecki. It'll include Sean O'Malley talking about your money and the markets as well. All that ahead. For more information, of course, you can always head to civicmedia.us, click shows to learn more, look for our back issues of shows, or subscribe to us as a podcast. Head over to Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. Back in just a bit. You're up, Norton.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
If You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free civic media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy band.
It's painful concert number three.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19. We are the boy band. Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We're taking a little bit of a detour this week on the Recombobulation Minute so I can tell you about a brand new project we've been working on here at Civic Media that we're really, really excited about. So here at the Civic Media Network, we produce a tremendous amount of content on any given day. From our news team all over the state to our daily lineup of political talk and commentary shows to our many podcasts and weekend shows to local morning shows to all kinds of digital content, there can be a lot to keep up with. But now we're bringing you a new way to find all of this tremendous content all in one place. It's a new email newsletter called Civic Media Today. Like the Recombobulation Area, it also publishes on Substack. This is going to be your one-stop shop to connect with everything across the Civic Media extended universe, from podcasts and live streams of your favorite shows to the latest on everything happening across Wisconsin. So go subscribe to Civic Media Today.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
So now you have some of the background on the potential government shutdown next week. Again, Congress is off all this week. They'll have Monday and Tuesday of next week to figure out something. Otherwise, Tuesday night at midnight, if there's no deal or a continuing resolution to kick the can down the road, there'll be a government shutdown, which is really unfortunate because there are a lot of other things going on right now. Not the least of which you've heard me talk about before is, you know, what's going to happen with a lot of Wisconsin farmers and their crops, especially their soybeans. But anyway, our question of the week is, who does get blamed for a government shutdown if it happens? Is it Republicans in Congress, Democrats in Congress, or President Trump? And if you want to be first to see our question of the week on Sunday mornings, then head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner, and get on board our newsletters. But back to the soybean problem for a bit. I noticed that the national political site Axios is taking note of, shall we say, some nervousness in Iowa, where they have a soybean market of nearly $6 billion a year. And again, not only has China not purchased any soybeans at all from the U.S. this year because of Donald Trump's tariffs and trade war, but this week we learned about a surprise deal with Argentina. China rarely buys anything from Argentina, but now they're going to be getting soybeans from Argentina and Brazil, and at the moment, none from the U.S. even if Congress and the president wanted to try to buy off farmers with some kind of bailout payments, well, two things. First, it would only add to the debt and the deficit, which they don't seem to have a problem with because they did it during Trump's first term. But second, if there's a shutdown, they can't even get around to doing that because they're busy squabbling about the overall budget itself. They're fighting about the extended healthcare premium supports that we just talked about in our last segment. And so many other things that there are to think about. And yet all we've got going right now is a potential shutdown and a potential trade war. I see that a little bit ago, congressional candidate Rebecca Cook put out a press release urging that Congress and the president exempt soybeans from tariffs in order to protect Wisconsin farmers. She says soybeans represent a $1.3 billion industry in our state. These tariffs are hurting farmers across Wisconsin. The price of a bushel of soybeans has dropped from $15 a bushel 3 years ago to as low as $10 per bushel today. And that is a direct result of tariffs that are driving down demand and the supply chain disruptions that come from it. And Rebecca Cook says, this is an existential crisis for our family farms, our regional economy, and our way of life. It's why I'm calling on President Trump to exempt soybeans from his tariffs and save Wisconsin farmers from further financial pain. There is somebody who has sat on the House Agriculture Committee who could be a leading voice on that, and that would be Derek Van Orden. And yet, as I'm looking to see if there's anything, you do just a simple search on Derek Van Orden and soybeans. No, no, there's nothing there. There may have been a quote here or there, but in terms of any actual leadership, none whatsoever. And here is somebody who promised to be an independent voice representing the 3rd Congressional District. It's something that we had in Republican Steve Gunderson for many years, especially when it came to dairy prices and fighting for all the dairy farmers in the 3rd Congressional District in Western Wisconsin. It was something that Democrat Ron Kind fought for as well to represent all of the farms in the 3rd Congressional District. The 3rd Congressional District is used to sending moderates. Steve Gunderson was a moderate Republican, Ron Kind, a moderate Democrat. Derek Van Orden billed himself initially as this kindly grandfather who served in the military and would continue to be that voice for everyone in the 3rd District. And instead, he's in the Washington Post today, but he's in the Washington Post for all the wrong reasons, for trying to cut all federal funding to the city of Eau Claire because of what some people posted on social media, and cut funding to all of the city of Ellsworth because of what somebody put on social media, and funding to the entire Mayo Clinic because of what somebody put on social media. If you missed it earlier, Derek Van Orden actually jumped in our comment sections at Up North News. We put up a post a few days ago about these threats to our First Amendment freedoms that he's been making, and pointing out the harm that does, and that it doesn't really comport with somebody who should be fighting on the side of freedom of expression. And he jumped in the comment sections to say that not all speech is protected speech, and to cite a particular federal statute as proof of that. But that statute doesn't say what he thinks that it says. And so rather he was just rather rambling and looking for ways to justify making threats against his own constituents and communities in his district. And as much as we are flattered that a sitting member of Congress wants to get into our comment section, we really wish he'd get off social media entirely and show some leadership on things like helping farmers whose soybeans are going to go nowhere and the prices that are only going to continue to go down in the meantime. But of course, he's getting into his example from the President of the United States, who we didn't even have time this morning to get into his rambling speech to the United Nations. It was full of false claims and contradictions. And again, he's literally campaigning for a Nobel Peace Prize while he's sending troops into cities within the United States of America. So much to continue talking about. We'll do more tomorrow morning and, of course, more throughout the day here on the Civic Media Radio Network, including your next chance to win in the Go for the Green and Gold Text Win Contest. The next keyword is quite literally minutes away with Jane and Greg from Matt and Air on Air. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News. We'll see you back here bright and early tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. here up north.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. We got word from Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem about a half an hour ago. Three people have been shot at an ICE detention facility in Dallas. Police there just confirming one victim is dead at the scene. The agency's acting director, Todd Lyons, on CNN.
You know, it could be employees, it could be civilians that were visiting facility, it could be detainees. At this point, we're still working through that. We do know that three have definitely been shot. They're en route to the hospital right now.
Again, one dead. Lyons says the shooter died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. CBS News Texas reporter J.D. Miles is at the scene.
This is an office where a lot of activity based on these mass deportations that have taken place over the last 8 months there's a lot of coming and going.
Secretary Noem says the motive for the shootings remains unclear. Again, at least one person dead. CBS News Special Report.